Australia's in a bit of a tricky situation at the moment. We've embroiled ourselves in a maths scandal, and Fev, this may be all your fault.
Ease up on
that. 2 days ago.
just start the engine before you drive the truck over me.
Okay. God. Now, on Wednesday, we had Michael on the show, Michael married to Stacey, and it was revealed that he and Hayley had a little pash. He was on the show and we said to him, would you like to leave Hayley a message? Because she's coming up on the show the next day. Michael, we actually have Hayley on the show tomorrow. Is there any message you'd like to leave for her?
She want me to write like a little note for her.
Yeah, write a note for her and then we'll give it to her tomorrow. We promise we won't open it.
A little note was written.
Yeah.
And yesterday when we had Hayley on the show, she opened the note live on the radio.
Oh, my
Should
God,
Hayley
my heart.
Read this?
Okay, so it says Hayley on the front with a line underneath.
Oh, gosh, what's
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Hayley, you're not the only one I kissed. Plenty more secrets.
Oh.
M.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
What else could he... Okay, so Michael, married to Stacey.
Yep.
Pashed Hayley behind Stacey's back. Now, the note said, you're not the only one I've pashed.
Yeah.
So then, next minute, yesterday's headlines. Married at first sight exclusive. Leaked letter from Michael to Hayley exposes the truth behind their cheating scandal. Now what's happened is Stacey and Hayley are fighting on Instagram. And now the headline is, it's just gone up about 15 minutes ago, married at first sight's cheating scandal deepens as Stacey accuses Hayley of forging Michael's confession
letter.
The
cameras didn't get that, did they, Boxy?
And says she has proof it could never have been written. Oh, dear me.
God.
Now, Fev,
just a nice little handball to me in the goal square so I can kick a snag.
What's happened here?
Okay. Now, we all know Michael's a bit of a shit stirrer, likes to stir the pot. So we did ask him to write he wanted to write a letter. And then we asked him after the show, would you write a letter? And he said no and left. So I said, righto, we'll fix that. So I said, why don't we write a note from him and say that he did write that, and we'll give it to Hayley, and it'll just be like a little bit of a joke. And we did. But we didn't know that Hayley was going to send it to everyone on Instagram. But that's not that's not on us.
Okay, so Fev, you're actually responsible. The ultimate prankster, Brendan Favola, has written the note, but Hayley didn't know that.
Let me back up the truck a little bit. Okay. I didn't write the letter.
Okay.
That was Leon.
Okay, so it was your
I told
idea.
Him what to write, but I never wrote it.
Okay, so that's your idea was to prank, do a prank. Leon wrote
worked.
The letter.
Yes.
I mean, people are criticising Michael's handwriting,
yeah,
so that's actually
Leon's.
A slight on you, Leon.
No wonder we don't know what's on the show. Can't
now,
read the board.
This is a problem.
Yes.
Because there's one person who's going to be furious with us.
Who, Michael?
No, I don't think he'll care. Hayley, because Hayley is now fighting with Stacey. And as I read before, she's written a message to Stacey on Instagram saying, get your facts straight. You call yourself a lawyer.
Oh, God.
Now, unfortunately, poor Hayley's facts aren't straight because that was a prank. So we're going to try to get her on the line.
You don't need to get her, do we?
You know what, Fev? Best to face these things head on.
I just did.
No, now actually face Hayley.
Oh,
let's tell Hayley what happened.
Hey, we'll just throw Leon under the bus. She's not listening.
Well, she may
we'll
not take
another
our
prank.
Call. We may or may not have Hayley after
hopefully
this.
She doesn't answer. God, what have I done?
101.9 The Fox.
If you're a maths fan, you'll have seen the letter that went viral yesterday. Stacey's husband,
God.
Michael, allegedly wrote a letter to give Hayley the lady he kissed, obviously, when he wasn't supposed to, saying that he'd kissed other girls. Now, this letter went viral yesterday, Fev. We handed it to Hayley.
Oh,
I believed it was written to Michael from Michael.
Hey.
No, hang on a second. I just want to say I was.
Did you distance yourself quick?
Yeah, because I thought it was a legitimate letter.
Oh, okay.
Now, I've worked with you, Fev, for 4 years. Yeah. You are the ultimate prankster. One of the first days I met you, you put tuna in my jam donut, and I'll never forget it. You love a prank.
Yes.
Now, what we've revealed is that you, in fact, wrote the letter.
Yeah.
So Hayley's been firing up and blowing up at Stacey, and poor Hayley had no idea. Now, I might just back up and step away from this because Hayley's on the line. Hi, Hayley.
Feb, I'm going to absolutely kill you, you little shit.
Hey, also. Now, mate, he said he was going to write a letter. He did it, and I thought, oh, this would be great because he stirs a pot. It would be great to get back at him.
I'll tell you what's happened in the interim since we've had dumplings and had a really good morning yesterday. I send it to Matt Bunny going, this is his admission. I've got the guy. He's a pot stirrer. He's hooked up with other people. Stacey replies back saying, this is fake. Sorry, I know he's writing. That's not fair at all, Hayley. You can't forge someone's confession. Mm. It's not written by him. He's dyslexic. And then I start writing back to her going, once again, Stacey's pointing the finger at Hayley, and we're in this full-blown war because of you.
Hales, I'll take some of the blame. But you're the one that put it all over Instagram.
I didn't put it all over Instagram. I sent it to Matt Bunny, to the guy that I know runs it, and goes,
And what do you reckon he's going to do with it? Just leave it in his little on his phone? Of course he's going to spread it.
Seb, I knew exactly what he was going
to
do with it.
It was a personal letter from Michael to you.
Nothing is personal on this show. Not even my thesis.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, Hayley. Sorry for getting you in trouble.
You're lucky. I love you so much.
Is there a way? Do you want some Pussycat Dolls tickets or something? Can we smooth it over?
Tickets. I wouldn't even know one of their songs.
Okay. Do you want to go to a festival or something? Festival tickets?
Oh, festival tickets. I'd love festival tickets. All maybe right. I can invite Stacey.
All right. We'll get you a couple of festivals and then everything's sweet.
Everything's already sweet. I love you guys.
Thanks,
you're
Hales.
The best, Hayley.
I'll tell you what you can do. You can inbox Stacey for me and then you can post it on your Instagram, your apology, telling
that's
her that I'm
point.
Not some crazy that forged some letter.
Hey, yeah, don't
I agree.
Don't push it, Hales.
Apologise to Stacey.
Do you think that he should?
I absolutely think he should do that. And just on a final note, shout out to Nicole Scherzinger.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, it's a week since the video went viral of little Quaiden Bales, the gorgeous 9-year-old in Queensland whose mum sent the video on social media of him crying after school because he was being so badly bullied. And what an amazing reception from not just Australia but the world. You know, he has had messages from Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Big Hollywood stars have reached out to him. He ran on the field at the
NRL All-Star Game.
I mean, it's so wonderful. And then you've probably heard about the campaign. US comedian Brad Williams, he raised more than $700,000 through a GoFundMe page. And the purpose of that GoFundMe page was really just to send Quaiden and his family to Disneyland so that he had something really fun to look forward to. Now, Brad, who set up the page, never imagined he'd raise $700,000.
A lot of money, isn't it?
Now, what's interesting is an overnight development is that Quaiden's family are rejecting the $700,000. Now, his mum and his auntie has spoken out and said, we want the money to go to community organisations that really need it. They know what the money should be spent on. So as much as we want to go to Disneyland, I think our community would benefit more from that. I mean, that is an amazing sentiment. And I was thinking about this, Fev, the generous spirit that to actually forego a trip to Disneyland because you want to give back to others. Quaiden is growing up in an incredible family.
Yeah, and it is amazing. And obviously with that money, they could do amazing things with the charities. But as a person that donates, like same with the Celeste Barber GoFundMe page, people are donating to send him to Disneyland. So someone might just have they might have $200 to their name and go, I was bullied as a kid. I'm going to put in $50 to send Quaiden to Disneyland. But now they're not sending him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that money is going to send. I know they're going to do good things with the money. We don't know what it is. But if you want to donate to a charity, you will donate to a charity. But with these GoFundMe pages, they're starting to say that they need money for this. But then when the money's raised, they pull it and do it for something else.
You don't.
How do you police that?
Well, it's interesting because Celeste Barber, unfortunately, when she set that up, she hadn't necessarily
researched
where that money was going to, and that's just gone to the New South Wales Rural Fire Brigade, and they're going to spend that money on training. Whereas everybody thought they were giving it to the families and the firefighters and everyone in need. And now this is a different example, but I get what you're saying. I when I read this, I wanted to reach out to his mum and his family, and you almost want to say to them, look, that is an incredible gesture to say that you want to give back and not take the money, but please just go on a trip to Disneyland.
Yes, like, I want to ask him.
I know you feel like saying,
hey bro, do you want to go to Disneyland? Yes. Why aren't you going? Mum won't let me.
Like,
of course he wants to go to Disneyland. Go to Disneyland, spend as much as you want, have the best time of your life, and then give the rest to wherever you want to give it to.
I really hope. Look, you know, he's obviously in a family that love him to bits, and that's what's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. But, gee, I hope they take him to Disneyland. I'd love that.
Remember when we had Alpha Bucks for Kids down to Disneyland? Where'd that go?
Yeah, good point. Let's give it to him. Alpha Bucks Kids Edition?
Uh-huh. Mando probably got rid of that too.
Mm. 101.9 The Fox.
It can be hard being a broadcaster, Fev, or a television presenter, particularly when you're dealing with live situations. Now, Pete Overton, good old Pete Overton, husband of Jessica Rowe, two beautiful daughters. He presents the Channel 9 news in Sydney, so he's their 6 p.m. newsreader. Now, last night, he was presenting a story. Unfortunately, it was about coronavirus.
Ooh.
And it was one of those moments like when you just have an ill-timed cough.
Protecting elderly Australians in nursing homes is the main priority for the Prime Minister as our government fast-tracks plans to defend the country from coronavirus. Excuse me. I might get you to read this intro, Chris. Thank you.
Oh, God, it's the best.
But do you know what, Beth? Can you relate to that? Like, when you've got a cough and you can't get rid of it and it's there, like he had to stop reading the news. He had to hand it over to the sports reader.
Because best timing.
Have you ever had one where you have like a mild panic attack because you're trying to control it and you suddenly become aware that your body is doing its own thing?
It's like a laughing fit when you just
can't stop.
You just can't stop. It's not even funny.
Because I remember I was at Trixie's, one of her little kinder concerts, and I was in a row, like I'd sat, I love to sit on the aisle and not sit too far into a row because I was right in against the wall and I started to get a coughing fit and then I couldn't get out. But then the more you're having a coughing fit, your brain starts to take over and then you're like obsessively trying to stifle a cough. Poorly timed coughing fits. They're never fun. And 13 10 60, we'd love you to share your stories because the tennis is a bad place to be.
Oh, yeah, don't cough in the tennis, especially mid serve. You'd cop some daggers. But I flew to Adelaide on Monday and I was walking down, you know, when you stand in that, you put your boarding pass in and that little bit before you get in the plane, what's that big thing you get in, you walk down?
The runway?
Yeah,
like
the walk thing. Yep. Yeah, the walkie thingy-majiggy.
The walking thing.
Mate, this person in front of me started coughing and the person behind me started coughing and I instantly thought corona. And I'm like, this is the worst time to cough.
Yeah,
don't cough when you're trying to get on the plane. Probably nothing wrong with them. And then when I sat down, they were right next to me and I'm like, oh, God, please don't. And I sort of put my top over my face a little bit and I thought, and then they fell asleep, so I was fine. But
see, I'd even say, you know, yesterday we're at the Crystal Jade restaurant in Chinatown. If any of the waiters had coughed while giving us our food, even though we were there to suppress corona virus anxiety, that would be a poorly timed cough.
Here's your ginger prawn.
Not now, thank you.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, we're talking about ill-timed coughing fits, like Pete Overton reading the news last night in Sydney. Unfortunately, he happened to be discussing a coronavirus news story.
Protecting elderly Australians in nursing homes is the main priority for the Prime Minister as our government fast-tracks plans to defend the country from coronavirus. Excuse me. I might get you to read this intro, Chris. Thank you.
Poor Pete. But coughing fits are no fun and they often happen. Sometimes people who hate public speaking, that's one of the worst things. You get up to do a speech in front of your office and that's when you get your coughing
fits. I've done it a few times when I've got up and my throat's gone. Like it just, you get really dry. And you go, ugh, and they're like, oh, God, what's happened here? Imagine all the people sitting at home watching the Channel 7 news or not. What is he on, 9 or 7?
9.
9 going, I think he's got corona. Straight after, 100%.
Oh, Kelly from Delaney. Hi, Kel.
Oh, good morning, guys. I just want to say, firstly, I love you guys and I love the show.
Ah, thanks, Kel. Oh, thanks, it's good without Byron, isn't it, Kel?
Oh, look, I do miss him, but yeah, he's good.
Ouch. Thanks, Kelly.
Now, poor Aaron. Kelly, tell us about your coffin fit.
So I was about 18 and I was going for a job interview. So walked in there, had a quick discussion, and I was trying to hold it in as best I could, but I just couldn't stop. So they had to go up and get me a glass of water, and I just had tears rolling down my eyes.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, the interview had to end shortly after, but I still got the job. So that
you
was
got it.
Wasn't that a takeaway fast food, was it?
No, nothing like that, thank goodness.
It makes you real. Do you know what? It would make you memorable in the job interview. If you got candidate after candidate, but then you remember Kelly with her coffin fit, I'd give you the job. Leanne in Narre Warren. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Leanne. Where did you get your uncontrollable coffin fit?
At a funeral.
Oh, no. Oh, Leanne, what happened? How did you manage it?
Lucky, I had cough lollies in my handbag, so every 2 minutes, everyone could just hear me opening the wrapper and trying to get the finger out. It was like my throat was so dry, there was no stopping it. And of course, like you say, your brain's going crazy and I couldn't get out. I was in the middle of the aisle.
I was going to say, why didn't you walk out? God.
Yeah, I couldn't get out.
What about the poor person who'd passed away? Like, that's their moment. That's all. That's it. That's it for them. And your coffee.
You'd be in there going, shut up. This is my time.
My daughter was next to me. I'm like, I'm going to have to leave.
I remember, Boxy, I went to a funeral when I was when I was in high school. Kid had passed away and someone's phone kept ringing. While the mum was up doing her speech, kept ringing, and you could, and they were trying to, it was, they were the old bricks back in the day. There wasn't just a little switch that you could just switch off. It's one of those big fat Nokias, and it rang like 3 times to the point where she had to stop. Can you please turn your phone off?
That's awful.
What are the chances?
I know. How rude. Yeah, Lauren in Chernside Park. Hi, Lauren.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Lauren, have you had one of those uncontrollable coughing fits?
Yes, I was at one of my friend's weddings and it was about halfway through the ceremony and I'm sitting there and I was like, I was like holding back this cough so badly to the point where my eyes were watering. I'm like, I'm at a wedding. My makeup's going to be running. Like, I'm trying not to cough and I'm holding it in. I'm gagging and it was this beautiful outdoor wedding. So I'm like, I could get up and walk off, but then everyone's going to hear me out the back coughing, like making a scene. So then the wedding finished and I was like, all right, so like, I need a water. Someone get me a tissue. My eyes are watering. Like, it was such bad timing, you guys.
It is. And that panic, I can relate to that panic attack, Lauren, inside.
Yeah.
You feel like you actually feel like you're going to explode because you can't control it. Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to either throw up or just, wreck this whole wedding. Like, it was terrible. The anxiety.
Yes. Forget just coronavirus anxiety. Just coughing anxiety is bad enough.
I think they both they come together, don't they?
What do you mean?
Corona and coughing. I don't know.
Yeah, but you might not have, you can have a cough without coronavirus, can't you?
Wow.
You say now every cold's a coronavirus.
Just reading the paper, Fiona, our Prime Minister, ScoMo, said everyone's going to catch it.
Yeah, I won't lie. The headline that's just broken.
Everyone.
I'm going to read it out. Top doctor sensationally claims everyone in Australia will contract coronavirus. That's not the best headline to kick off the day, is it?
Bad timing.
101.9 The Fox.
Fev, apparently a lot of Australians are having trouble adulting.
Yep.
I get that, and I think you can be well into your adult years and still struggle to adult.
39.
Yeah, absolutely. One third of young people, this is according to a survey, are struggling to adult. And they're blaming a lot of this on the cost of adulting. And I get that. The cost of living in Australia
expensive.
Is driven.
Yep.
Apparently it's driving young people who can't adult to one, stay at home and live with their parents. I get it. Two, they're stealing toilet paper from workplaces. I mean, apparently now you can get all your essentials, your home essentials from work.
100%. We used to do this at footy club. Like, we'd take milk and cereal home, use the telephones
there.
You
just take. Oh, I remember that. I used to, when I first got into radio and I had to move long distances and I was working in Sydney and even Port Macquarie, I'd always make my phone calls at work 100%. To use a long distance phone number. Yeah,
used to always do that. We used to use that, like, because we were at Optus Oval and the doctor had a special phone in there, and it was for emergencies to ring, like, the ambulance and doctors if someone got injured.
Yeah.
And it was in the doc's room down in the bottom of the Heatley stand. The phone got disconnected. Because all the Italians in the team used to ring family members back home, and it was all international phone calls, and they'd ring up that much money, and they had literally got cancelled. So not adulting. So that means, like, because Mia buys stuff for her bathroom because she's got an ensuite in her room.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes because I can't be bothered going to the shops, I steal her toilet paper that she pays.
I know, but there's an argument Mia's more adult than you. Yeah, like, I think that's, you know.
She's like, who stole my toilet paper? Oh, I think it was like Lenny. It was 100% me.
Adulting can be tough, though, in many ways. I sometimes find myself, even when you've got kids and they all want something from you, and you've got all this stuff on your plate, and you go, I just want to go back to lying on the couch at mum's.
That's why I wanted mum to cook me dinner the other night.
Yeah, you're right. And is your mum still at home?
No, she left. She must have settled whatever was going on, because I think she might have heard the rave, because when I got home, her bags were packed and she said, bye, son. I said, oh, did you listen to the radio this morning? She said, yep. I think I kicked her out.
Oh, poor Kaz. That's not fair.
Well, she kicked me out. I'll kick her out.
131060, let's hear from people in Melbourne who are struggling to adult. And what are your tips? What are your tricks? Because apparently you can borrow, people are just basically taking household items from family members, from work. I love the using phones in the offices. What are your tips and tricks for adulting, and how much are you struggling with it?
I reckon I've taken butter out of the fridge here before at work.
That's you. It's always missing.
101.9 The Fox.
On your recommendation, I watched Taylor Swift's documentary, Miss
Very
Americana.
Good, isn't it?
On Netflix.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it was really good. And I already like Tay Tay, but I like her even more now. Yeah, you didn't,
no,
did you?
No. Did not I think about her at all. Just didn't really like her music. Just didn't come on the radar.
She was on your radar. No,
and then after that doco,
yeah, very talented.
Yep.
And went through that really tough time with Kanye, and it's worth watching even just to see from her perspective, when Kanye interrupted her winning her award at the VMAs and basically said Beyonce should have.
Yeah, because she was so young at the time. Mm.
And then everyone was booing, and she didn't know that everyone was booing Kanye.
Yeah.
So she stood there thinking the whole auditorium was booing her and what that would do to a 17-year-old. So it's a fantastic documentary. But my favourite part, Fev, and I just want to replay it. So she's doing a meet and greet in Tokyo before her concert. And one of the guys who's coming to get a photo. So you think about it, you're a pop star. You just spend half an hour getting photos with people.
Was this when we were in Tokyo? Was it the same time?
No, because this was from 2018, I think. But this guy chose the moment when Taylor is just standing there to take a photo with him for 30 seconds to propose to his girlfriend. And just listen for Taylor's awkwardness.
I'd just like you to be a witness for something special, Miss Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to ask Miss Maybell Marciano to be my wife. I got this special token of my love and appreciation for you. Love you.
Did you know that was... I didn't know that was going to happen at all.
Yes. I was like, you just like, high five.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Whoa.
Well played.
That guy managed to make one of the biggest pop stars in the world look incredibly awkward at her own meet and greet. Like, she was standing there. And you see, this is the thing, Fev. Sometimes couples don't think through what it's like to be the spare wheel, whether it's in their fights or their proposals or... Because I've never been at a restaurant when there's been a stop down to do a proposal, and like, you're at the next table, and it's like, now I'm part of this. And
well,
this
the
is
way
awkward.
I look at a box is he thought, I'll do it in front of Tay Tay. She can't say no.
Well,
like, it's a guaranteed yes. Because I've done this for the second time when I proposed to Alex. I made sure all her friends were there. I got the kids down. She can't say no in front of the kids. So she had to say yes.
But my only thing with that girl is, though, will she remember the proposal or just remember meeting Taylor Swift? So, like, I think what he's done is made the proposal less memorable than Taylor Swift.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Hey, guys, let's check in with the newsroom and recap a massive week with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Good morning, I'm James Lake and this is the Fifi, Fev and Byron Bulletin. Well, with coronavirus anxiety taking over Melbourne, the Vice President of Chinatown, Eng, is doing her best to be as welcoming as possible.
Eng's giving Matt Preston a cuddle.
She's going everywhere.
The more the merrier. Hey! Eng, are you married? Are you in a relationship, Eng?
Do I have a stupid written on my forehead?
International news, and the country of Jamaica may have found a new ambassador in Australian footballer Brendan Favola.
Come on, Maggie, put a smile on your face and be happy.
Yeah, needed to be bit.
Oh, don't bring everybody down, man.
Sorry.
Even your wacky Jamaican accent. Couldn't do it.
Sorry. Whilst US President Donald Trump is having trouble pronouncing names of famous Indian cricket stars,
Sachin Tendulkar,
our very own Fifi Box is struggling with pronouncing sports.
I need to postpone bowling. I struggle with that
ten-pin
word.
Ten-pin bowling.
Not going to lie, it's not my...
Bowling.
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 Just say ten-pin.
Ten-pin.
And months.
February.
Now to entertainment news, and after years of being ignored on Twitter,
I was never ghosting you, I just didn't know that you existed.
Bev finally got a chance to talk to his number one crush, Katy Perry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm really nice and I don't bite unless you want me to.
Oh.
I feel like I can make up for the non-response. I would like for you to be my guest at the show. I'd like to have a tiki chat. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you still there?
Hello.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing. Right. I'm going to go.
I can't wait to take you up on your invite because I love you, so...
Oh, I love you too.
Yay! Yay!
The news that Melbourne teachers are having their qualifications tested, the Fifi, Fev and Byron team are under the same investigation.
What is the part of the eye called that...
Rectum.
The what?
Rectum, isn't it?
Oh, so stupid. You meant the retina. What happened was...
Yeah, the retina.
You meant retina.
Did he mean retina?
You said rectum.
Yeah, some would argue that Fev speaks through that part of his...
Well, that's it from the newsroom. For more Fifi, Fev and Byron, grab the podcast from the Fox app. And as Fifi Box always says...
Ni hao!
Fifi, Fev and Byron.